You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 2. Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. And in the light of the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it's noted during this season, here in Luke chapter 2, when Christ was born, he was taken to be circumcised on the eighth day. And taking him to the temple on the eighth day, therefore going into the temple, then there are two persons that God makes note of in particular. And one, as you would note, in Luke chapter 2, verse 25, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just, righteous, devout, pious, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him." So here's a man that was waiting, and he was waiting, and as he waited, he was doing so as a way of life. He was waiting. And as he got up every day and went, he was waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for the consolation. And the word consolation has to do with comfort, to encourage, to strengthen. And thus the word is used of the man. He's waiting. And he's waiting for the comforter, if you would, the comfort, the one who gives consolation and encouragement of Israel. He's waiting for that one. And the Spirit of God was upon him so that he was going to be in the right place at the right time. And thus, he's in the temple. He's in the temple. He goes to the temple the right time that Mary and Joseph bring the baby in. He's at the right time. And he's there. He's been waiting. These are people noted of all the people around. God notes two people of that were anticipating during the days of unbelief. Herod, the unbelieving Jew, unbelieving Gentile, and the just nothing. Just nothing. So if you lived in Israel, it would be Hanukkah. You could have that, celebrate, you know, Feast of Lights. You could do all that. But you wouldn't. You wouldn't have much going. Not much going. No, no. Not at all. But here is a man God singles out because he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And he was expecting it. He was looking for it. He was awaiting it to happen. And not only was he but there was one other one. And over in verse 38, and picking up, well, I have to go up to verse 36. And her name is Anna. She's a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She was married 7 years. And then her husband died, and she was a widow, verse 37, for 84 years, 84 years. So she's been a widow for 84 years. And she, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayers night and day. Here she is, she's there, and verse 38, and she coming in at that instant, and God makes everything happen as you know what he wants to. Everything's at the right time and the right place. That's how he does it. And you'd say, well, no one planned it. No. God just moved all the pieces on the chessboard, as it were, and put them in the right place. That's what he did. Everything's going on. Everyone's doing that which is right in their own eyes. But then there's God in the middle of all of those, the world, the 7 billion people, all doing what they're doing. And then there's God moving the pieces. Moving the pieces. Every piece, at the right place, at the right time, God does that. No one else can do that. No one else. No one. And God does that in a most wonderful way. And in my own little life, I just had going through that. Every piece was put in order. There's no way on earth you could have planned it, could have thought about it. Every single drop of those days moved to the right place. God, God. Well, here's Anna in 84 years, a widow, in the temple. And in verse 38, she coming in at that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption, looked for the ransom, the deliverance of Israel, like a slave from a slave market to pay the price. They were looking. She was looking for, and the word looking for is the same word in verse 25 that Simeon was waiting for. Waiting for, looking for. Same word. Both of them. In the same place. They're looking. That's what gave them a common denominator. They were all looking to the same one. When you look to the same one, then the two are going to be one. They're of one mind. They don't even know it. They're both there at the same time. Now, having said that, just going back, if I can, I'm interested, or you might be, may be encouraged. Now, Simeon, you're a student and of the scriptures, obviously, and certainly Anna, the prophetess, is. So here they are. Now, what would you make believe that you're them, and you've been in that temple waiting 84 years? Now, that's a long time. And you've been in and out of that temple, in and out of the temple, for 84 years. And all those years, you're waiting for that one, the one that will redeem Israel. And you're waiting for him in the temple, right place. And Simeon, what are you doing? Well, he was waiting, same as Anna, only he's running around out here, a very pious, devout man. Looking, waiting. And here they are in a world that no one's waiting. Who cares? Who cares? It's another day, another week, another hour. And that's all. That's all it is. Merry Christmas. It's all over. But now, so I thought you might be, if you were Simeon or Anna, what might you know that God made very clear to anyone that wanted to know? Over, if you would, please. And we're going to go and use the waiting, the verb to wait, and the verb consolation, encouragement. They're encouraged, and they're waiting. All right? Are they justified in being encouraged and waiting? That's what I want to know. Are they daydreamers? Are they resting on something that they're counting on, and God honors them? God honors them. Now, over, if you would, please. Oh, in your Bible, picking up if I can, in Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And we'll just go and just think, as a believer. Now, what do you know? I know a number of things that God has made very clear to us, that the tribulation, all the things that are preceded, the harbinger of that which is coming is out there. The shadow is here before the reality hits. And we're there. We're all in, everything's going. And we have all this information. And so we ought to be among those that are looking for his ever-presence in a way that brings us to the reality of his return. And we're looking for the rapture. We're looking for God to put together what he has in mind. He's already told us what he's going to do, so we're waiting for it. And we have all those scriptures, and we're resting on them. All right, what did Simeon and Anna do? What were they resting on? So that we ought to be encouraged by what they did. Isaiah chapter 40. And picking up, please, in verse 1. And in Isaiah 40 to chapter 66, you have the movement in Isaiah of looking into the encouraging all the Israelites then and later to be encouraged. That's the chapter 40 to verse 6, chapter 66. To be encouraged as you read the chapters God gave, to be encouraged into the future, about the future. Now, Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. God said to be comforted, encouraged, encouraging the remnant. It's a command. It's intense. Be excited. Be intense. Be diligent. Be diligent. It's a command. Be doing it. Be comforted. Be comforted. The word comfort means to breathe, to bring forth, to breathe again, to be calm, calmed, to take a breath, to revive oneself, to rest oneself, to recover. Take a deep breath and relax. The word comfort, comfort. To be excited, excited. To be consoled, to be comforted. To interest one's self in. Be interested, said God, in what I'm doing. That's the word comfort. To breathe, to take an interest in something. And thus when you come to verse 2, speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Double. Now the word comfortably in verse 2, just for the sake of having it there, comfortably, it has to do with what? It has to do with looking to God. And the answer, there's two little letter words. One is answers, you want to ask the question, where? The question, where? And then the next word, heart, to the heart, to the heart. Thus, let me read it. Speak where? To whom? To the heart. And it's translated comfortably. Comfortably. Speak to the heart. You see. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Be speaking to the heart. Speak to the heart. It's intensive. Let your heart be admonished, encouraged, strengthened, comforted. Let your heart be excited. And by what? Well, John 40, you know, verse 3 and on, is that about John the Baptist. We just did that on Sunday morning a bit ago. And John the Baptist is the voice in the wilderness. He's the forerunner of our Lord, of the Messiah, the one you're going to see circumcised. He's the one. And they were waiting for him. They were all waiting for him. Wow. Now, in the light of that, over to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51. So if you were an Israelite, you would know all this stuff. Just like a believer, you ought to know all the wonderful truths that just keep us going, keep us connected. That's why we do this. So you and I are helped and get benefits. There's all kinds of people in the world, but God singles them out. Just think of the end of Malachi. Here's all the people that before it goes to 400 years of nothing. And God picked out those that were taking note of his name and fearing him. And he singled them out. Of all the people out there, he singled out this group of people. Here he is, singling out Simeon and Anna. Two people. Where's the rest of them? I don't know. But that's who he pinned down, and that's who he sent into that temple. They were privileged. God honored them. Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, please. And in verse 3, going directly. Verse 3. For the Lord shall comfort, there's your word, Zion. There it is again. He will comfort, intensive. All of these are intense. Roll up your sleeves and do this. Be encouraged. Be quickened. Get with it here. Awaken your heart. In verse 3, the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her way. He will comfort her all her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. And if we're looking for a God, do you have a plan? Is it being worked out? Are you coming? Are you coming just like you said you would? Are you going to fulfill the plan? Oh, I am. And he keeps saying it. So the people that would read, we're going to go to the next thing. Isaiah 51, verse 12. Isaiah 51, verse 12. I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou should be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man, which shall be made as grass? What are you getting all caught up in what people say and people do, and this can't be and that can't be, and all the impossibilities? In fact, all of this is impossible. If you take God and put him down here, G-O-D, and bring God down and put him in a circular file and put the cover on, and you got nothing. The reason everything has somewhere to go is because of God. That's why it has somewhere to go. And thus God encourages the heart. He said, what are you being afraid of men for? Why don't you just pay attention to what I say? You don't have to debate. You don't have to sit there and say, am I smart enough? No, God. And that's how you read the Bible. God, you gave the Bible. You said you gave the Bible. You never said you gave anything else, but you did say you gave this book. Thus saith the Lord, 3,000 times, over and over and over and over and over. Well, then, God, I'm not going to argue with you. I don't know anyone better than you. I know no one better than our Lord Jesus Christ that rose from the grave. I don't know anyone. I have no argument. You can bring anything you want. Take any document you want. Take any criticisms you want. I don't know anyone better than that. And you have to outrank him for me to listen to you. You got to outrank him. And that's it. So I sit there, and what are you going to do? I'm going to allow God to be God, and I reap all the benefits, you see. If I'm going to sit there and say, well, God, I don't see you, I don't understand you, etc., etc., you're all done. You'll never make it like you could. So God said, don't be afraid of men, but be comforted, be encouraged. But I get discouraged. I told you not to get discouraged. I told you to be encouraged. But, God didn't say, no, it's no buts. No buts. I command you intensely. Do it. Thus. Isaiah 52, verse 9. Just picking it off as you couldn't read. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. Why? For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Israel. And there you have Simeon and Anna coming together. The redemption and the comfort coming right together. Now, and thus, having said that, over to Isaiah 61. Isaiah chapter 61. And you will notice, please, remember the Lord is going to give this. He quotes verse 1 on his message in the temple. And he does that. But he doesn't mention verse 2 at the time, because that isn't what he was doing. First time he came, I'll read verse 1. He came, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. He did not read the second part, because that has to do with the second coming, to proclaim the acceptable year of our Lord, of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God. God, what are you going to do? What's the tribulation going to produce? It's going to produce great comfort, because you thought God would never make things right. God makes everything right. All that's wrong will get right. All the stuff that you don't understand, it'll work out. It's being worked out. But I don't see it. Well, you want God. And you don't have all the pieces. You don't have any pieces compared. None. Might as well say we had none, God, except your word. So now, God in the second coming, he's going to comfort all them that mourn. He's going to be a great encouragement. And that certainly in Isaiah's day, you needed encouragement. In Simeon and Anna's day, when our Lord came, you certainly needed encouragement. In fact, our Lord said of the people that they lived with, they were an adulterous and evil generation. I mean, I can't tell you that it wasn't an exciting place if you wanted to be encouraged. And thus, here's Isaiah telling us in his day, remember the Assyrian captivity comes in, and then there's a space, Isaiah dies, and the Babylonian captivity comes in. Now, having said that, Isaiah 66, verse 12. For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck, and ye shall be born upon her sides, and be dawdled upon her knees, upon her knees. Well, what are you talking about, God? Well, I'm trying to help you understand as a mother. Verse 13. As one whom his mother comforteth, so as a mother would handle a little baby, I will handle you. Verse 13. So will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You're all going to be encouraged. All of you, like a little baby, I'm going to take care of you, you see. And how many times have we said that to us, to remind ourselves? It's so hard to understand and to do it, to let God be taking care of us. To let God be taking care of us. I can say that. It's wonderfully simple. But do you know how we fight that? We don't want that thought to go too far at all. We don't mind God in a crisis. Oh, come to my aid like a genie. But to have God just being a caretaker like a little baby, we don't want that. Oh, we don't. I don't know why. Why do you think we don't want that? You know the answer. It's our old self. Old self. Now, having said that, in the light of verse 12 and 13, in the light of the excitement to be consoled, to interest oneself in the things of God, to let God stir your heart, to breathe again, to revive, to be refreshed, to relieve, to wait. We looked at comfort, and then look at waiting. Well, we just read a little bit. And you wouldn't have read too far if you were a Jew living back in the days before our Lord was born. You would have had to know he's coming. And he said to be comforted. Simeon, are you comforted? Yes, I am. I am. Anna, are you looking for the Redeemer to come, to deliver Israel? I am. All right. Now, over, if you would, to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 8. And in Proverbs chapter 8, they are to be waiting, looking for, expecting. Now, here's Proverbs chapter 8, and if I may, taking a look at the end. Remember, it's all about wisdom, Proverbs 8. It's wisdom personified. It's God. God is wisdom. And wisdom becomes, God makes it as a person. And wisdom is so marvelous. The Lord Jesus Christ is the wisdom of God. He brings us the wisdom of God in himself. Now, that's Romans, Proverbs chapter 8. So now, if I may, in chapter 8, as you come to the end of that marvelous, marvelous exercise about God and his wisdom. Verse 33, hear instruction and be wise, refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, the one that's hearing me. Blessed is the man that's hearing me, paying on a constant basis, paying attention, but keep a good hearing. Blessed is the man that's hearing me, watching daily, staying awake, staying active at my gates, waiting, here's our word, waiting to pierce through, to be nimble like a lizard, be fast, quick, nimble, awake. That's the word. Be awake. Be alert. And watching daily, verse 34, at my gates, and waiting, with the word we just touched on, to be nimble, quick, to be awake, a watcher, to be diligent, at my post, waiting at my post of my doors. You're just waiting, God, we're waiting for you. Just, Simeon, is that what you're doing? I'm waiting. Anna, is that what you're doing? I'm waiting. You're waiting. You're looking for him. Uh-huh. God said, blessed is the heart that's looking for me. That's why God blessed them. And God took the two of them and put them in the right place at the right time and made a note of it. Made a note. You don't have anything else about them, but just that God noted them. Like the widow's two mites, you know. Of all the people that were going in and out of the temple, God noted one lady. Just one lady. Wouldn't you like to stand out to God like that? To be noted. To have heaven say, God said, hey, take a look at my man, at my woman, at my boy, at my girl. Take a look at them. See? Wow. That's something. God. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, in verse 35, for whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. And so, God, we don't want to be on that page. We don't want to be in that. So, God, blessed are they that are waiting and watching. Uh-huh. They aren't going to lose out. Over if you do it, Psalm 130. And in Psalm 130, and you'll note, if you would, I'm going to skip down to verse 5 for time's sake. I wait for the Lord, there's your word, I wait, my expectation, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, again, that's right, it's waiting, intensive, just like God said it to be. I'm waiting for the Lord, my soul waiteth, and in his word do I hope. I have great expectancy. I'm waiting on him. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. They're waiting for darkness to end and light to come. My soul is more caught up in more than that. It's a waiting for God, my soul. Verse 7, let Israel hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption. That's right. Anna, you're looking for him. That's right. He's full of redemption. Mm-hmm. And verse 8, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. And so here we are looking, God, you're going to go and rescue from all iniquities. you're going to do that. And to go and to wait. And the word wait, to bound, to be bound, to be stretched something around something and make it very tight, very firm, very secure, to hold something fast. You tie it up tight, tie the box up tight so it can't slip. The rope won't get off. Tie up tight. Wait, wait, wait. Set yourself strongly. Wrap yourself around God tightly. You won't be disappointed. You'll never be discouraged. You can get discouraged, but you don't need to be. So, and thus the word hold, wait, to hold fast, to endure, to expect, to wait for something, to be waiting for it. Now, thus in Psalm 62. Psalm 62. And here is our word we just tried to remind you about, to be firmly bound, stretched. Psalm 62, may I pick up in verse 1. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. And the word wait there means to be still, different word, to be silent, a silent hope. The breath of life, vital, vital power. My soul is waiting upon you, God, because from him cometh my salvation. God, I'm looking to you. Verse 5. My soul waiteth, wait thou only upon God. Why is that? For my expectation, my hope, my anticipation is from him. That's what I'm going to, I'm looking to you, God, I'm looking to you. Anna, you've been doing it for 84 years. 84 years. That's a long time, Anna. Got to say you're faithful. Got to say you're faithful, Anna. Yeah. Therefore, verse 5, for my expectation, verse 5, for my expectation is from him to wait quietly, quietly, silently, silently, calmly, in verse 5. Wait, wait, wait. And thus you come to verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. God, you're my strength, my glory. You're my everything. Therefore, verse 8, trust in him at all times. What time don't you trust him? At no time. At all times. Ye people, how do I trust him? Make sure you pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Salah. So you don't want to carry it, you know. You have 1 Peter 5, 7. Casting what? Casting all your care upon him because what? He careth for you. All of it. What are you doing? Pour out your heart before him. Put it on him. Put it on him. Yes. Well, because he's your he's your hope. He's your counting on him, as we shared on Sunday, as someone did. Remember, he is the wonderful person that brings all of the past in order, and all of the future in order to your present. And as you trust him now and look to him, you already have your future. You are in the future. You have eternal life. You're already there. God has taken care of all the past and brought it into himself, brought all the future together in himself. And the life you now live in the flesh, you live by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. And God is God. So I don't, my future is, here's the future of history, time. But then God, you've given me the wonderful privilege, as you'll see in a minute, that we're out of time. We're in time, but out of it. Now, over. Over for you to, oh, a psalm, oh, Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, picking up, if I may. No, I'm going to, I don't want to have time. Go with me, please, over to Isaiah, if you would. Isaiah. Let's say it another way. Isaiah 25. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. since we're in Isaiah for comfort, we're in Isaiah for waiting. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. And it should be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited, there we are, we have waited, we've stretched out, been bound, we have waited. We have waited for him. He will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. We're waiting, God. We're waiting. One of the tough things to do is to wait, because we want to have it happen just so fast and seem like we should make the right move and do it. And then you have to wait. And you learn to wait. Waiting's hard. Hard to do that. To stay fully alert so that your heart is encouraged as you wait. That's hard. Now, over in Isaiah again, right next door, Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26, in verse 8. Yea, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, have we waited for thee. The desire of our soul is to thy name and to the remembrance of thee. God, we're waiting on you. We're waiting. We're just waiting. Tying ourselves up strong, keeping ourselves firm and tight, holding fast, enduring, full of hope, full of expectation, anticipation. God, we're waiting. We're waiting. And the timing is up to you, God, in your time. Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And picking up, please, if I may, in Isaiah 40, verse, so good, verse 29. He giveth power to the faint, 40:29. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But in contrast to all of that, they that wait, they that make themselves bound, firmly bound, stretched, firm, strong, valiant, holding fast, enduring, putting themselves around God, hang on to God. You'll never be disappointed. Jacob held on to God, remember? He held on to God because God already put him out of business. And he held on to God. And he wouldn't let go unless God would want. Bless him. Isn't that good? You can't hang on to God like that. See? But he could hang. He did. God let him hang on like that. God let him do that. He said, I'm not letting go unless you bless me. God could have, boom, and put him out of business. But he said he blessed him. He blessed him. Now, verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord. What's going to happen as you wait firmly upon the Lord? What's going to happen? They shall exchange, to put in place of something else, to substitute. They're going to exchange, renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, the young men, everything else is going to fail. That's right. God said, remember we did it in Isaiah. Are you so silly to trust a human being that is going to die? And you're trusting someone that's breath, their lifespan is only a second on another more time on earth, and they're all gone. They're like grass, and you're trusting humans. See? God said, why don't you just be comforted, encouraged, and trust me. Wait on me. Don't be discouraged. And thus, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, now if you were living in the day before our Lord was born, and someone gave you a little study, and you all sat down and prayerfully listened and read the scriptures, wouldn't you have potentially been encouraged? And you look around, you look out the window, you look at the government, you look at the politics, you look at the powers, you look at the, where it's headed. There's not much hope. No, there isn't. There isn't. In fact, bad news is ahead. They're going to crucify the Christ that you're looking for. But you'd be encouraged if you want to be. So now, Isaiah, Psalm 40, and in verse 1. I waited patiently. I was firmly bound. I strengthened myself. I wrapped myself around God. I held fast to God. I waited, endured, had hope. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, because there's no explanation except you, God, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, respecteth not the proud, nor such turn aside to lies. Ah, many, verse 5, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done, and thy thoughts, which are to usward. Your thoughts are higher than the heavens. Your thoughts, which are to usward, that cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So God, if we're going to look to you, into you, and you tell us to wait, to be encouraged, to be consoled, comforted, strengthened, hang in there. God, what do I know? Angels, what do you know? You know that God has thoughts about us, waiting to be comforted, Anna, Simeon, and us. Here we are, waiting. And God, what do we know? Well, your thoughts cannot be reckoned up in number. A number, they cannot be counted. And you know if you did Psalm 139, they are more than the sand of the sea. And you remember the jar of sand I had with all the granules in it, all counted. That's just a little jar. Let's see. Over a million. Wow. God said more than the sand of the sea. Are you interested, God? I guess so. So when God finds a Simeon who paid attention and an Anna who paid attention, he said, wow. And when he finds you and me and we're paying attention, we understand he could come any moment before we get out of here and you'll have to miss Christmas. Wow. Now, having said that, over with me to tie it together quickly. Over to Romans chapter 50. We're going to take our word, consolation. Simeon was looking for that, encouragement. And thus, Romans chapter 15 may go directly to verse 4. And whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. That's why we just did Isaiah and all of them. We just read them a little. Why? Because we're supposed to learn from them. They aren't just a reading to fill time. We're supposed to get something out of this. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. Why? That we, through patience, bearing up under the load, and comfort, there's your word, the comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. What are we going to get it from? Well, we just read you why Simeon and Anna should have been encouraged, why we should be encouraged. And there's a lot to be discouraged about. But there's more to be encouraged than discouraged. And besides, God's good news of encouragement outranks, outweighs, and overrides all the discouragement. So I guess I can't be discouraged. Since God isn't discouraged, can you be discouraged? You want to follow God, his lead. Is he discouraged? No. Is he upset? No, no. Then I'm not going to be. Is there a problem in the world, in your life, that can't be solved? That he can't solve? That he isn't solving? Then if he isn't worried about it, I'm not going to be worried about it, and you're not going to be worried about it. Now, verse 5. And now, the God of patience, bearing up under, and consolation, there's your word again, like comfort, in verse 4. Consolation, the God of patience and consolation. What are you waiting for, Simeon? I'm waiting for the consolation coming out. I'm waiting for him. He's the comforter. That's right. He's the comforter. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. And so, like we said before, if you're all looking, if each one of you were looking as you ought to, looking to God, looking to him, what would you see if you looked down? You would see us all on the same page, wouldn't you? And that's how you make unity. I said it a couple of days. Oh, you don't try to get it this way. You'll never get it this way. Forget it. You got to get it this way. Be looking to God. Get people to look to God. Look to Christ. Be saved. Allow the wonderment of God, the good news, to get in the heart and fill your heart. And then we'll all be on the same page. Just like you said the other day with the pianos. You have 100 pianos and they're all trying to be in tune with each other and they all bang away at the same time. And they aren't going to be in tune. They're going to be, who knows what 100 pianos would sound like. I don't know. But I know this, that if I went through with the same tuning fork, 440A or whatever it is, and I went through and tuned each piano, when all those pianos hit the same note, would you know anything? They'd all be the same. They'd all be the same. And it wasn't because they loved each other or they looked at each other. It's because they have the same tuning fork. They have the same standard to look to. And that's what brought them together. That's what brings us together. Not we aren't a club. We aren't a little dating service. We aren't a promotion. This is what we are. What do you want to be that for? You got all of them out there. They're big time out there. You see, God's done something wonderful for us and freed us from that. See, what am I going to do for my kids? I'm going to help them know the living and only God. That's what I'm going to do. That's what it's all about, isn't it? To know him. Without him, what do you got? You got a new doll. A new doll. Wonderful. But not a new heart. No good. Not good enough. No, it isn't. And thus, you know, if you took time to read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, he's the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. There's your word. The God of consolation. He's the God of all comfort. He comforts us. And that's what we go through. To get what? To be encouraged. To go through whatever we do. You read it at your leisure. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Same word. All the way through. That's what we're doing. That's what it's about. Isn't it about trying to get out there and succeed? You want to succeed with God. You want to succeed in your heart. If you win in your heart, you've won everywhere. If you try to win outside and lose in your heart, you've won nothing. You've won nothing. All the trophies in the world aren't worth anything. They're worth nothing to you. All your activity, all your events, all that you're trying to be, apart from him, you've got nothing. In your heart. You need it in here. And God fills the heart because you're already there. You already won. See? And thus, waiting. We have a great, great consolation, Hebrews 6, looking, waiting for it. Waiting for that blessed hope. Titus, if you would. Titus chapter 2. And you'll have what we just mentioned. Titus chapter 2, please. And notice verse 13, the verb, right off. It's what you've been looking at. Looking for, waiting, the word waiting, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That God would do a wonderful thing for us, you know. And here we are now, and here we are, but we're there. We're seated in Christ. And we're here, that's right. We're absent from there, we're here. And when we're absent from here, we're there. And no matter whether we're there or here, we have him. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You're seated in heavenly places. You're already there. You already got it. Nah, you do. You do. We're destined for it. We're programmed for it. We can't miss it. Why is that? Because it belongs to Christ. And everything that belongs to Christ, the head, belongs to Christ, the body. True. You missed that, some of you. You have a head. And everything, your brain. When you're happy, are your hands happy? When you're sad, are your feet sad? They all share the sadness, don't they? Isn't it funny that everything that goes on in your brain, using your physical part, is shared by the rest of you? You see. It's automatic, isn't it? Everything that belongs to the head wonderfully belongs to the body. And that's what God has done for us. He's given us what no other people on the face of the earth will ever have. Ever. No angel have it. That God placed you, and everything that is in his Son, he's given to the believing heart in his body. The Spirit of God said, I put it all together. And you are the beneficiary of all of the marvels and mercies of God. Wow. That's my gift. Ephesians chapter 1, 21, 22, and 23. I give a gift. I give Christ as a gift to my church, his church. A gift. The unspeakable, right? 2 Corinthians 9:15. Thanks be unto God for what? His unspeakable, indescribable, beyond words. There's no language. All you can do is say, thank you. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit.